One of my favorite stories from the Bible is David and Goliath. It's a great old story. How many have ever read David and Goliath? You know the story, right? Amen. And it's one of those stories that you were taught maybe when you were knee-high to a grasshopper. Those of you who were raised in Sunday school and went to Sunday school all the time, that was one of the biggies right there. And it's one of my favorites as well, because there's just so many different angles and so many different spiritual lessons for us to learn and for us to grow in. And I'd like to have you turn in your Bible this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this is where we pick up the story of David and Goliath. This is a long passage of Scripture, but I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to read the last part of the chapter. And I'm entitling my message this morning, Speak to the Mountain. We have a mountain. All of us have mountains that we tend to run away from. This morning we're going to learn how to speak to the mountain and grow in our faith because of the mountains before us. So you'll all hopefully catch in or tune in and be able to figure out what I'm trying to communicate this morning as time goes on. Beginning at reading at verse 45 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 45. It says this. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down, and I'll cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard, and he killed him. He cut off his head with the sword. And when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged toward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Sharon road of Gath and Ekron. And when the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. May God richly bless his word today, even though that sounds like a little bit gory. It's not a story you would read of every day. It's not a story that you would think you were even going to have heard read on a Sunday morning. How many of you have ever heard the name of Sir Edmund Hillary? Sir Edmund Hillary, anybody know what he's famous for? Mount Everest. Climbed Mount Everest. And he was a mountaineer, and he was an explorer, actually from New Zealand. That's where he hailed from. And his dream early in life was to be the first man to reach the summit of Mount Everest. His first effort ended in failure. He tried, failed. They didn't make it to the top. So Edmund Hillary joined another expedition. And yes, he tried again. If you don't succeed once, try it again. I guess that was his motto. And this effort also ended in failure. And it ended in tragedy when one of the team members on the trip up to Mount Everest was killed. Later that same year, Sir Edmund Hillary was speaking to an audience about his experience. And behind him on the platform, there was a huge picture of Mount Everest. And, it was quite a good picture. It was a full wall picture. And that huge photograph of Mount Everest sort of stood out, and it was sort of the center of his conversation. And during his speech, his message, Edmund Hillary turned around and looked at that picture of Mount Everest, of that great mountain, of this huge photograph. And he turned to the photograph, to the picture, and he said, "Mount Everest, you have defeated us, but I will return. I will defeat you, because you cannot get any bigger. I can." That was his message. And a great story, a great message, and I love that story. And a few months after Hillary spoke these words, he launched another expedition to Mount Everest. And so it was on May the 29th, anybody remember what year? 1953. He and one of his team members became the first men to reach the summit or the very top of Mount Everest. He did become bigger than the mountain, just like he said. Now, what's that all have to do with David and Goliath? Well, I always love this. You got to hang with me here. I always love this story because it reminds me of the words of Jesus in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 30, this is what Jesus said. He said, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move here or move there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Nothing will be impossible for you, Jesus said. Today we look at a story about a young man in the Bible who not only faced a mountain, but he faced a giant. And of course, the name of that giant was Goliath. And he too spoke with boldness. He spoke with courage about being the conqueror. And he too finished the day in victory because he spoke to the mountain. Goliath, David and Goliath. What an amazing story. And you know what happened. You know the details, I'm sure. Today, we want to look at one aspect of the story. Specifically, how David spoke to Goliath. And how when he spoke, things happened. Things fell into place. You see, when we consider David's words and we consider Jesus' words, Jesus speaking to the mountain, we can sometimes... We can learn something about how we should speak to problems, how we should speak to challenges, how we should speak to giants, and how we should speak to mountains that are before us, that we face in our everyday life. So if you're facing a giant of a mountain, or a mountain of a giant, today I want to show you three things about how we can speak to the issues and the concerns and the problems and the mountains that you and I face every single day that God gives us breath. Three things that hopefully will be an encouragement to you today as you address the mountains that are in your life. Number one, I want to suggest to you that you're doing the speaking, not the listening. You're doing the speaking, not the listening. In any other context, you need to be doing most of the listening. The Bible tells us that we are to listen for God's voice. The Bible tells us to be still and to know that I am God. Listening to God is an important part of growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ. But there are times when God calls us to speak. God calls us to speak words of faith and to believe in Him more than we've ever believed before. But when it comes to dealing with Goliath, you need to remember that he's got nothing good to say. That he's got nothing true to say to you. So we can find our way out, or permission, if you will, to ignore him and to do what God says we need to do. Before David spoke to the giant spoke to him. The giant tried to intimidate. Goliath did everything possible to try to bring down David and to make him feel sheepish and insignificant and powerless and everything else. When David had just entered the battlefield armed with only a sling and some stones, a few stones in his pouch, Goliath sneered at him and called him names, made fun of him, and belittled him, and everything else. And then he said in verse 44, look at what it says in verse 44. It says, "Come here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." That's what Goliath said he was going to do with David. He was going to tear him up, throw them to the birds. That's how giants speak to us. Giants are like bullies. Giants try to get their way. Giants try to do us in and get us discouraged and everything else. That's how problems speak to us. That's how mountains of issues that we face in our lives speak to us. That's how addictions speak to us. They say, "You're mine. I'm going to humiliate you. I'm going to destroy you. And there's nothing in this world that you can do about it." These mountains we face them all the time. You know, your family is going to fall apart. And that's happening a lot. Your marriage is going to fall apart. And it's not going to get better. You don't deserve a good marriage. You don't deserve a healthy family. You cannot be happy. The devil says that. And many times we end up to believe it. It always makes sure that there's something to prevent your happiness. Your problems are always trying to intimidate you, to give you a sour taste in your mouth, to discourage you. They're always telling you what cannot be done, what you cannot do. They're always telling us how every good thing is impossible, that you'll never get there. You'll never make a life for yourself. When I was a kid, my father, I've told you several times before, my father was an alcoholic. And he used to tell me those words. He used to tell me, "You're never going to make it." you're never going to amount to anything unless you stay home, work in the woods, and you know, look after the cattle. That's the only way you're going to do it. And he believed that. Just before he died, I had an opportunity to sit with him for a few hours. And he said, you know, I was wrong in what I said back then. Didn't mean to humiliate you. I did not mean to put you down. And of course, there was a lot of tears shed in that room that day in the seniors' home where I was with my father for a good couple of days. But he used to tell me that. He used to say, you're no good, and you never will be. Now think of what that does to the mind of a kid. Think of what that does to a young person if you tell them that story, that message, that they'll never amount to anything. It had an effect on my heart and my thinking for a long time. Well, as we look at this story of David and Goliath, I want you to understand this morning. And understand it well. Sometimes there are sincere and well-meaning people close to you who inadvertently speak to you on behalf of the giant. They tell you it cannot be done. They tell you it will not be done. They tell you it's useless for you to even try, for you to even begin. They tell you you don't deserve it. It may be unintentional on their part, but the fact is they are not speaking the word of God. They are speaking the word of Goliath. That's Goliath speaking. They may not say it as viciously as he, but the message is the same. And the message is, this problem is bigger than you are. This problem is beyond what you can handle. You're going to fail. Imagine if someone kept harping at Sir Edmund before he climbed Mount Everest and kept telling him that, what the outcome would be. When it comes to facing the mountain, or when it comes to dealing with the giant, however Goliath appears, and however Goliath makes himself known to you, the first thing you need to remember is that it's your job to talk to the giant, not to listen. Now, I know that seems like totally opposite of some of the things I've told you in the past. But when I'm talking about talking to the giant, I mean talking to the giant in words of faith. In words where you believe down deep in your heart, you are more than a conqueror because of what Christ has done in your life. What I mean is this, from the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Those are the words there that we need to speak when we speak to the giant. The second thing we need to do is we need to set the record straight. And that's what David did. He set the record straight. And if you had to face problems in your own strength, you would have every right to be intimidated and every right to be afraid. But that's not the case. This isn't your battle alone. Because as David found out, the battle is not yours. It belongs to God. It's his battle. And when David came on the scene and saw how frightened the men in the Israelite army were, he couldn't ignore it. David had no other choice but to speak up. Yeah, he could have reclined. He could have retreated. He could have given up. But he had no other choice but to speak up. He had to put the situation in its perspective, and he said, in effect, wait a minute. Just hold on a minute. Why are you afraid of Goliath? Why be afraid of that big bully? He's probably pretty soft underneath. And so he asked that question, why be afraid of Goliath? Who are you and who is he? And he said this. Look at what it says in verse 26. He said this, and he asked a question. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is he? Who does he think he is that he should defy the armies of the living God? More importantly, David didn't just talk about the problem of Goliath. He talked about to the problem one-on-one. He addressed the situation. And when he entered the battlefield, Goliath scoffed at him and made fun of him and belittled him and tried to tear him down. And he laughed. And this is what he said in verse 43. He said, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? That you come at me with sticks? Who do you think, you little nincompoop? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are coming after me? You know, I could take you and twist you up. It's kind of like Greg standing beside me. I wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alleyway. I wouldn't want to deal with some of the big guys out there. And David probably had that thought in his mind. He probably felt like he had no chance in the world in the beginning. But he put it in perspective. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David knew that the living God was going to see him through and move him on to victory. And David looked up Goliath and he said, in effect, Goliath, I'm the one telling you how it's going to be. Wow. I'm the one that's going to tell you. I'm setting the agenda here. You think you're a big bully. You think you can handle this. You think you're going to push me around. Well, you got another thought coming. That's not going to happen, Goliath. Listen to his exact words in verse 45. Look at it in your Bible. It says, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. I come against you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. How dare you, Goliath, think that you can come and push your weight around, try to have your way, because it's not your way. It's God's way. Look at what it says in verse 46. The day of the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Wow. That's pretty blunt. Today I'll give you the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. The whole world's going to know by the end of this day, Goliath. So you might as well face up to it right now. And then verse 47, it says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Wow. That, my friends, is how you speak to a giant. That is how you address a big bully. And you come at him head on. You get at him head on. That's how you do it. You tell that giant what his limitations are, and you tell that giant what his future will be, and you will tell that giant that he's no match for your God is no match, because Christ liveth in you. Just like Sir Edmund Hillary, shaking his fist at that giant photograph, that big picture on that back wall of Mount Everest. You cannot get any bigger. Remember what he said? You cannot get any bigger, but I can. You can speak to any mountain you face. You and I can do that because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. He says, I will conquer you not by my own power, not by my own strength, but by the power of God that works through me. Wow, that's pretty potent. That's pretty powerful. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what did he say? Remember, the devil came at him from every area, from every aspect, from every corner. 40 days, 40 nights, Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness. And at the very end of it, Jesus says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. But he also said this. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get out of here. Get lost. You're out of here. He spoke words of faith. When I was talking about setting the record straight, I'm talking about putting the problem into its proper perspective. Whatever problem, whatever issue you're facing today, God says we need to put it in its proper perspective. I know when we go through problems, you know, we look at it, we say, sometimes we say, this is it. I'm done for. I'm toast. I'm never going to be able to get out of this hole. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? But you know what? As Christians, God has called us to look to the next day. The one thing I can tell you this morning, it's snowing, but, you know, Tuesday the sun might shine. Might. You never know. We live in Maine. It changes every day, right? You see, think of the greatest challenge you're facing today. Your greatest Goliath you're facing today. You know, some could be for addiction. Some could be financial struggles. For some, it could be a health scare. You know, some of us are getting older. And I don't know about you, but I become a little more concerned as I get older what my health is going to be like a few years down the road. I have to keep trusting God to keep me in some kind of decent shape. Question is, can God overcome this problem? And of course we know the answer is that we know the answer to that one. We know it for sure. The next question then is, will God overcome this problem? This giant that we face. In other words, is this a battle that God wants you to win? The answer is yes, of course. Does he want you to overcome a controlling habit or an addiction of sinful behavior? Yes, he does. Does he want your relationships to be healed and so that you might know forgiveness in your heart? And so that you might be able to forgive others and experience forgiveness? Yes. Does he want you to get out from under a mountain of debt and live in financial peace? The answer is yes. Does he want you to have a job? Yes. Does he want you to have good, healthy relationships? Yes. Does he want you to experience success in your life in such a way that brings honor and glory to his name? The answer is yes. Absolutely. We need to remember that Jesus said, if you had the faith as small as a mustard seed, then you can speak to the mountain, and the mountain will move. He didn't say you can think and the mountain will move. You can think all you want. That's not going to move the mountain. He said you can speak. You can speak. You can utter the words. You can command, and the mountain will move. and the authority of Christ. The Gospel of Mark has a similar quote from Jesus regarding the connection between faith and words. And I love how the old King James Version puts it to us and helps us to understand it. These are the words from Mark chapter 11, verse 23, from the King James. It says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." There's a lot of whatsoevers and a lot of sayeths there, but I believe the King James expresses it so beautifully. I love that phrase, "he shall have whatsoever he saith." Do you see the progression? You believe it, you say it, you receive it. That's the formula right there. Write it down in your heart. You believe it, you say it, you receive it. That's God's plan for you. That's God's plan for me. In order to become bigger than the mountain, you have to dare to speak the word of faith. We have to speak words of faith to the mountain. And in order to defeat the giant, you have to be bold enough to speak the word of faith to that giant. To that giant. There's a third thing I want you to remember as I bring this passage to a close this morning. And it's this. You got to reach for the rock. When we were in Israel a few years ago, we were in that location where David and Goliath had this mighty battle. And it's the Valley of Elah. And the Valley of Elah is pretty barren, and pretty rocky. But I remember going into the Valley of Leah and stopping. We stopped and we picked up some rocks. And my wife, I didn't know it, but when I got home, I had half a suitcase full of rocks. And I wondered why I had to pay a little more in luggage fees. But this was one of them. It wasn't a smooth rock. Remember, it was five smooth rocks that David picked out to slay Goliath with. This is not smooth, but it's an interesting rock. And I'm wondering if there's not even a little bit of gold or anything in that. This is a rock from the Valley of Elah in Israel. And, you know, she's got all the other rocks. She's got them out in her flower garden. So that's where all the other rocks are. But this is one I kind of confiscated because it caught my eye. It has some character to it. But anyway, David picked up the rock. He reached for the rock. And when I see him doing that here in this passage, that meant that he was now thinking in terms of more than just words. He was thinking of more than just, you know, pleasant thoughts or bad thoughts towards Goliath. He was actually going to do something. You know, faith without works is dead, remember? In the book of James. And I think David knew something about that as well. And this is what, you know, this is what happened. David stood up to Goliath and said, "Goliath, this day, I will strike you down and cut off your head." Wow. You know, a lot of people say, well, the Bible's pretty gory. And there's some spots and places in the Bible where it is actually pretty gory. And I don't know, R-rated or whatever. But that certainly does not give you a very pleasant picture. But this was certainly a dramatic moment. But David didn't turn around at that moment and say to the army, "Did you hear that, boys? I just spoke a compelling word of faith. Let's let God do the rest." He didn't do that. He took action. David reached into his pouch and he pulled out a stone. and he placed it in a sling, and he got ready to place his life on the line. And that's what you need to remember when it comes to speaking a word of faith. It may require putting your life on the line. If you want to receive whatsoever he saith, that is, if you want God to stand behind your words, you need to be prepared to stand behind your words as well. And this is an important truth that comes out of this. There needs to be a connection. There must be a connection between the words you speak and the actions you take. We learn that a lot when we're trying to raise kids. You know, sometimes, you know, I got four little grandchildren and they're just kind of crawling around right now. But if you speak a word, you better be prepared to follow up on it. Because if you do not, they will see right through that. And they'll know that you're just playing games. And so the next time around, you know, eventually, if you don't follow up, they'll just tell you to go pound rocks or to pound sand or whatever. So it's a great lesson, and it's many different angles, many different ways of life we see it, but there has to be a connection between the words you speak and the actions you take. Not only did David speak these words, but he took action. He did take action. It's not just name it and claim it. But after you speak the word of faith, you reach into your bag for that rock because you'll have to put your life on the line in order to experience the fullness of God's blessing. So the question is, do you want to conquer the mountain? Or do you want the mountain to conquer you? For those of you who have climbed up Mount Katahdin, that's a pretty small mountain in comparison to others. But yet, you go up that mountain and you realize that, you know, that's not as easy as you think. When you're driving down I-95 from Holton down to Bangor and you see Mount Katahdin off to the right and the beautiful, even in the summertime, you see snow caps up there. It's a beautiful, beautiful mountain. Many people go up that mountain. Some people don't make it up. But nonetheless, it's a picture of our faith, of speaking words of faith. Speaking the word of faith isn't all there is in spiritual victory, but it is an essential step in the process, in stepping out. It's if your words provide the link between what you believe and what you do. And over the years, I've learned that speaking the word of faith accomplishes two things. Number one, it increases my faith. And number two, it increases my faith, It increases my resolve to put my faith into action. Once you've spoken the word of faith, you're more likely to reach for a rock to sling it at that big bully of a giant. Once you've spoken the word of faith, you're more likely to experience God's blessing in the end than if you didn't reach for the rock. So, here we are. We can tell those big giants to go take a hike. We can tell by the power of God that lives within us through the Holy Spirit to be more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We could see the power of God at work in us and through us. Those Goliaths, their days are numbered. But your days as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, are without number. Because you have a gift, the gift of eternal life, through Jesus Christ. This giant is going to fall to the ground, and you're going to stand victorious because God is at work desiring to do and to complete His good purposes in you and through you. So what does God promise us? You can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the Davids. Thank you for the story that reminds us of the mountains. Thank you for the story, this more than a story, this actually did happen. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word that guides us into righteousness so that we can be more than conquerors through him who loved us. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the promises of your word. Thank you, O God, that you're on the throne, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that nothing is impossible for you. Take those words, Lord, and seal them to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to close.